You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kia ora, Jamie. How are you going today?
Hey, Kelly. Good to be with you.
You too. What's new in life?
What's new in life? Oh, look, we've got a by-election on the horizon. We've got the Green Party that seems to like the National Party a whole lot more.
Tell me about that. What? Greens have handed over their question time to you. Why?
Look, I think at one level, the Greens actually are probably one of the more principled parties on the government side of the benches. And they take the view that the question time should be used for the parliament to hold the executive to account. And they didn't really like the normal process where the government MPs go and use their questions to ask patsy, easy questions from their fellow ministers in their own party. I think the more interesting dynamic at play, though, is you're probably seeing a Green Party that is wanting to have more of its own profile. It's probably being swallowed a bit by the government. They're probably not being taken as seriously by the Labor Party as New Zealand First is. And so they're wanting to change things up a bit, and they're wanting to make some changes as to how they do things. You've actually had James Shaw say in the media that Jacinda Ardern needs to realise that she needs to have friends at the end of the parliamentary term.
Mm,
so this could actually be the Green Party, a bit of a cry for help, a bit of a need to be a bit different, and it manifests itself in them going and giving us their questions. I wouldn't read everything into it. I mean, it doesn't mean that there's going to be some radical blue-green government in the future. But what I think it does say is that the government has three component parties, so it has three parties that are all unique, and they can't all be viewed as one of the same. And so from time to time, the Green Party's got to do things differently. They're going to stand out, and they have to do so if they want to survive in the longer term.
If they do want to do things differently and stand out, though, why not use that question time to not ask patsy questions and to challenge? You know, obviously, it's only a supply and confidence coalition that they're in, so it's not necessarily like the same as New Zealand First Labour sort of situation. So why are they giving you their questions and not either using their questions more effectively and being a bit more critical of the government of the day, or you know, opening it up to a forum and extending that privilege to the public somehow, you know, so it kind of that sort of situation? Why are they giving them to National?
Well, that's a decision for them as to how they do it. Obviously, as an opposition in question time, our job is to absolutely hold the government to account. We're not there to try and make friends with the other side and trying to elicit friendly information. We're there to do our job as an opposition. And I guess at one level, they viewed the National Party as the party that can best hold the government of the day to account. They could go and do what you're suggesting, and from time to time, actually, they probably are going to call back their questions and say, we're going to ask something that's very strongly of interest to Green Party members and Green MPs, and they'll do that. But just remember, you've got some politics at play here. You have a government that's got three parties in it. You have a government where each party wants to do well at the next election, and the history of MMP shows the Green Party in New Zealand First that if they are not careful, then they may go the way of the ACT Party or the Māori Party, where they decline quite a bit. So I think you're seeing here the Green Party wanting to assert themselves more. It's a bit of a bold move, giving it to the National Party, but it also says to the public that they're not there only to support the Labour and New Zealand First Party. In the future, there may be some options out there, and there's a lot of water to go under the bridge here, but the Green Party are taking a principled stand in their view, and congratulations to them for it.
Moving on to the Employment Relations Amendment Bill that's kind of been in the forefront this week. Obviously, one of the Labour MPs started this, you know, we kind of dusted off this bill, amendment bill, that was written up quite a few years ago now. And it's looking at employment law and how workers are being exploited in this sort of triangular employment situation where they go to an agency or a subcontractor and then are not given the same protections or rights in, you know, as the rest of us are able to enjoy when we're employed by an employer. Why didn't National vote in support of that as, you know, the amendment to that bill to be able to, for that employee to be able to go to their employer and for personal grievance? Why did National not vote in support of that?
Now, can we just back the track up a bit here for a second? I'm sorry, Kelly. I like you a lot. I really do cringe, though, when I hear people use the word exploited a lot. Just because an employee is not under an agreement that the union of the day thinks is perfect doesn't mean that employee is being exploited. Doesn't mean that every person that is in an employment situation that isn't with a union membership attached to it doesn't mean they're not in a workplace that they're happy with and works for them. There will be, from time to time, a number of employees that have not been treated well, and they should be.
Is that not exploitation, though? That is exploitation. If we're getting rights and protections by our employer, and then there's people that are going through subcontractors or some sort of agency, and then there's no liability for that employer, they can just fire them. There's no holiday pay, there's no sick pay, there's no superannuation contributions. How is that not exploitation?
The employment system in the country should have a range of options and should have flexibility for employers and employees. Now, I'll put it to you like this. If you were a nurse, a trained nurse, and you wanted more flexibility in your life, you didn't want to be on rostered shifts, you wanted to be someone who signed up to an agency that allowed you to go into hospitals when you were available, when you wanted to, and you got paid more per hour to do so, and you wanted to have that flexibility, why shouldn't you be allowed to do that? If there are people there who want to engage in short-term labour hire situations where they want to put themselves out there to do that, they shouldn't actually have the government of the day passing legislation that would constrain an employee's desire to be more flexible, and in worst case, possibly end up pricing those types of organisations and those employees out of the market. I think what we need in the country is flexibility. What we need in the country is a range of protections there for employers and employees, but not to the point where you end up costing people jobs or you end up costing people the flexibility that they might want themselves. Not every employee that is not covered by a union agreement is being exploited. And so I get really concerned, and that's why we vote against many of these things that the Labor Party puts up, because they come from an ideological perspective that the union's always right. Actually, we've got a pretty good track record in this country of employment relations. We have a lot of growth in this country. We have more people getting jobs. We do have flexibility there that allows people to have different options for themselves. And I think that's the type of country we want to live in.
Okay, so how? Okay, so really the amendment that is going ahead is that allow employers to take personal grievance with the secondary employer. So essentially, how does that mean that the flexibility is moved from those that are in a positive situation through this
because
triangular
employment?
Because
when you take a sledgehammer to crack a small nut, you end up hurting other people.
But all the amendment is that the employer can take personal grievance with the secondary employer. That's all it is. So really, it's only targeted at those that are being exploited by this, not those that are getting a positive situation from it.
Well, no, I'm sorry, Kelly, but you have to look at this in the context of everything the Labor Party wants to do in the employment relations space. You could pick out one small change in a series of changes that they want to make and make an argument for that. The sum total of everything that they want to do, though, will cost New Zealanders jobs. It will actually push up prices. It will lead to more union membership, granted that. It'll lead to more collective agreements that the unions like, but it won't necessarily mean more jobs for people or higher pay. It'll price out a lot of people out of the market. It will lead to more people being unemployed. It will lead to less flexibility in our employment relations changes. And you can't just take one change and think, that's fine, there's no other consequences. There's a lot of things that they want to put in that we will see coming through this year. And we are of the view that the number one goal of employment relations should be to have people employed in a safe environment with flexibility. We have that in the country at the moment. We're seeing more people getting jobs. We're seeing more people upskilling so they can get those jobs, and that's the future we should aspire to.
So I suppose that has already, although National didn't vote in support of it, it has gone to Select Committee, is that correct?
That's right. It'll be looked at. It'll be torn apart by a committee and by experts that'll be submitting and by individuals that feel passionately about it, and then it'll come back to the Parliament, and that's a normal process.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.